Hysteria is brought to you by Quince. As summer winds down, I'm all about refreshing my wardrobe with staple pieces for the season ahead. You know what, Alyssa? I live in a...
What?
In my part of the country, the hottest months are September, October.
They're really?
Like absolutely like standing next to an open oven. There's like always a couple weeks in there where it's just like all the air conditioners are like, peace. And at about 4 p.m., everyone just has to like lie down in their house with all the curtains drawn. It is a time of year, though, where sometimes in the night it'll get cool and then the day will get really hot. So I need like layers. I need layers.
Yes.
I need layers in light colors. I need layers in light fabrics. I need layers that I can throw into the washing machine and not worry about ruining. And that's why I love Quince. Think chic cashmere and cotton sweaters starting at $40. A cotton sweater. Love a cotton sweater for a cool evening.
I see. And by me, we start getting a little chilly, a little crisp the end of September. So I'm looking at some new colors for the Mongolian cashmere crew neck.
Ooh, such a pretty piece of clothing.
And it washes up so nice.
It washes up so nice. And sweaters start at just $40.
Yep.
They have washable silk tops. I love a silk top.
Mm-hmm.
Denim pants, timeless styles you'll keep coming back to. The best part, everything with Quince is half the cost of similar brands. So you can literally, you know, re-up a weekend wardrobe. You can do a weekend wardrobe refresh where you have like all the layers you need for the different changes, blah, 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 blah. Like
ready to go.
You are covered. By working directly with top artisans and cutting out the middlemen, Quince gives you luxury without the markup. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Which Quince piece has made it into your wardrobe lately, Alyssa?
Oh, you know what? I actually like the Bella Stretch Relax Straight Jean. I have a horrible time finding jeans. I love these. They like... You know how sometimes you just like look at the jeans in your closet and you're like, I don't know, am I going to get those on today? But for some reason, no matter what's going on with my body, they always fit. And I appreciate that. And also they wash up very nicely.
I am a sucker for cute kids' clothes. But because I've, you know, we've got two girls, the little one basically just wears all the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Clothes. Like I just kind of, I'm constantly like hauling tubs. I cannot resist a cute baby outfit though. I cannot. And like Quince has allowed me to indulge that a little bit, like a cashmere sweater for a one-year-old. Like, you can get a cashmere sweater for a one-year-old. Like a little button-down thing.
Adorable.
To pop on over a dress. And it's like...
And if they barf on it, you can wash it.
If they barf on it, you can wash it. It costs a reasonable amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not an amount of money where I'm like, she's not going to be able to wear this in 3 weeks, and I just spent...
Right. It's only for nice.
Exactly. But it's like, you know, with the... I'm like, already thinking ahead to the holidays, and it's like, I want, like, a little sweater for her to wear over, like, her Christmas dress for the pictures. And
cute.
Quince has, like, really cute kids' clothes, too. So if you haven't checked that out, if you want to get your kids something, like, nice, cute, versatile, washable, affordable, definitely check out Quince.
Mm-hmm.
Elevate your fall wardrobe essentials with Quince. Go to quince.com/hysteriapod for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/hysteriapod to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/hysteriapod.
Other People's Problems was the first podcast to take you inside real-life therapy sessions. I'm Dr. Hillary McBride, and again, we're doing something new.
The ketamine really broke down a lot of my barriers.
This work has this sort of immediate transformational effect.
Therapy using psychedelics is the new frontier in mental health. Come along for the trip. Other People's Problems, Season 5, available now.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
So, Alyssa, this week, Kim Davis, the bigoted Kentucky clerk and Bumpit fan club president, who was jailed and fined for refusing to issue same-sex marriage licenses after the Supreme Court ruled in Obergefell v. Hedges in 2015 that same-sex marriage should be legal nationwide. Now, she's asking the court, the Supreme Court, to overturn their 10-year-old ruling, citing her religious beliefs about marriage being between one man and one woman. Now, Alyssa, without cheating, how many times has Kim Davis been married?
Erin, since we are talking about And Just Like That today, which featured Mr. Big, who was married 3 times, I'm going to go with 3.
You are incorrect. She has been married 4 times.
What?
4 times. The woman who thinks marriage should be between one man and one woman so hard that she wants to invalidate.
That's a lot of freedom.
Yes. She wants to take away the freedom of same-sex couples to marry henceforth. Has done it 4 times. So
four.
Yeah.
Four times. Sounds like a peach.
She is. She's beautiful. She's perfect. She's got style. She's got class. She was
there.
She's
got flair.
That's how she became the conduit for a rollback of LGBTQ rights that Clarence Thomas telegraphed was coming in 2022. Alyssa, I always feel like so loosened up after we're done recording
the podcast. Are
you kidding? I feel like
we're like, who needed an edible? Who needed a Xanax? I'm like,
I'll take both. I will gladly accept both an edible and a Xanax, but not at the same time. But, you know, once we get talking about these things, I think it helps us process them and live alongside them in a way that feels a little bit more functional and less scary. This week, we're talking about Pete Hegseth's really, really weird megachurch pastor. And discover the fact that Pete Hegseth and I were in high school at the same time.
You were. And also, spoiler, doesn't think much of women.
Doesn't really think I should have a vote. But you know what, Pete? I tell my husband how to vote, so fuck you. We also talk a little bit about Donald Trump invading the nation's capital for a photo op. Just as an LA resident, I gotta say, I'm really sorry it's happening to you, people who live and work in the district. It sucks, but you know, in 30 days or so, it'll probably be over. Probably. We also talk a little bit about what school choice means on the ground in Arizona. Spoiler alert, it's a disaster.
Bankrupting Arizona?
Yep, pretty, pretty bad. And then Alyssa, our guest.
Sam Irby, Samantha Irby, the lady, the myth, the legend, talks to us about And Just Like That, which drops its final episode this week.
And it was like a really, most of the time when we talk to people who work in entertainment, they're a little bit like talking pointy.
Nope. Sam gave us the real deal.
We got some revelations. We got some really good revelations from this interview. And then we dunk on Katie Miller's new podcast.
It was a joy.
It was a joy. Okay, Alyssa. This is going to be a butt-heavy episode, I'm just saying, right now. So,
well, thank God.
Gird your loins.
Mine's in shape.
Hold on to your own respective butts.
My tush. My tuchus.
Alyssa, butt grooming-wise, I feel like conservative men fall into one of two categories.
Okay.
Guys that you're like, that guy does not wash his ass, right?
Okay, category yeah, fair, one. I agree. Yeah.
Category two, that guy definitely bleaches his asshole.
Okay.
Those are the two categories.
Yep.
And the guy we're going to lead news with today falls into the latter category. Over the weekend, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth reposted and praised a video on X of a Christian nationalist pastor saying that women shouldn't vote. Now let's listen to the clip.
Christchurch senior pastor Doug Wilson makes no apologies for his beliefs on God and country.
I'd like to see the town be a Christian town, like to see the state be a Christian state, like to see the nation be a Christian nation, and I like to see the world be a Christian world.
Is planting a church in D.C. part of your mission to try to turn this into a Christian nation?
Yes. So every society is theocratic. The only question is who's Theo? In a secular democracy, it would be demos, the people. In a Christian republic, it'd be Christ.
A big focus of his Christian movement is on a patriarchal society where men are dominant and women are expected to submit to their husbands.
Women are the kind of people that people come out of.
So you just think they're meant to have babies?
Women are the kind of people that people come out of. I hope Pamela Brown got hazard pay for that because
she looked so uncomfortable that whole time.
I encountered her a few times when I was doing like on-air stuff at CNN.
Yeah.
Lovely woman.
Lovely woman.
Absolute class act. And I don't know what she did to get this assignment. She handled it well. She's going viral.
I appreciate she did it.
Oh, my God.
We wouldn't know.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, that wasn't just a fringe pastor. Although he does look like he has been pickling for some time, this is not a visual medium for most of the people.
Did you see the chairs in the church?
What did they looked like?
They were sad chairs. I'm just
saying. They were AA meeting chairs.
They were group meeting chairs.
They were meeting chairs for sure. Doug Wilson is the name of that guy. He's the senior preacher at Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, and the worst thing to happen in Moscow, Idaho since Brian Kohlberger. He's also the founder of Congregation of Reformed Evangelical Churches, which is an empire of over 150 churches across four continents. And yes, Pete Hegseth is a member of one of them. Hegseth even attended the inaugural service of the new Christ Church location in Washington, D.C. last week. Wilson has also called for the United States to illegalize sodomy and same-sex marriage again and defended slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And our Secretary of Defense, who, just real quick sidebar, mm-hmm. I recently learned that Pete Hegseth grew up not far from where I grew up. He grew up in Forest mm-hmm. Lake, Minnesota. Graduated from high school 2 years before I did.
Yeah, Aaron.
Would have been in high, if I were cool and had been invited to parties, I could have been drunkenly groped by the future Secretary of Defense. We are close to the same age. He looks
so much. I am so much older than him.
He is, you know what? That's why drinking is not good for you.
Drinking, tanning beds, generally being rotten on the inside.
He is really banking on there being some, like, massive anti-aging breakthrough in time to, like, save him from turning into literally a raisin, somewhat handsome raisin. Anyway, not to be catty, but he deserves it. So Pastor Wilson must be really proud of Pete, who is doing what he can to make the military as exclusive and bigoted as possible, kind of all while hiding behind this, like, weird chicken hawk-y language where I'm like, what do you mean by that? Like, he really wants the military to, like, play up, like, a G.I. Joe version of toughness.
Oh, 100%.
And, it's just
a facade.
And it's so It's so corny. Like, every time I see him, I'm like, you are so corny, my dude. Like, fucking, this is ridiculous. This self-serious, like, lethality or whatever. It's like, oh my God, dude, calm down. But he does have a lot of power. He recently announced that the Confederate statue known as the Reconciliation Monument, which features toned-down depictions of slavery, will be remounted at Arlington Cemetery. This will cost taxpayers around $10 million.
Of the things to spend money on.
Statues. We should be, you know what, Pete? You could put that $10 million toward, like, anti-aging research or, like, liver rejuvenation
cancer
research for yourself. No, I'm just saying, like, if he wants to, like, spend it selfishly, he could just be like, hey, researchers, figure out a way to unpickle me. Can you unpickle my guts? The monument was taken down in 2022 after an independent commission deemed it problematic from top to bottom. Hegseth wrote on X, "It should never have been taken down by woke lemmings." Oh, my God, dude, calm down. "Unlike the left, we don't believe in erasing American history. We honor it." Okay.
By erasing it.
We honor it. It is like, it is so childish and fragile that conservatives cannot confront and understand history as it happened. They're so scared of it.
And it's... They literally lived through it, okay? They all survived. They all learned history in high school, and, like, they're still here.
I mean,
just saying.
I think the history that they learned in high school was even a little bit airbrushed.
Well, probably, but this is excavation.
Yeah. And the Pentagon is currently under fire for deleting information about women and black trailblazers in the military. So, you know, we love history. Mm-hmm. We love history that only makes white men feel good. If mm-hmm. it makes white men, if it hurts white men's feelings, we gotta delete it, because when white men have hurt feelings, then bad things happen. Back in May, Hegseth ordered all transgender troops be removed from the military. And now we're hearing stories of what that looks like in practice. Last week, it was reported the Air Force will be denying early retirement benefits to all trans service members. They'll be separated with a lump sum payout or removed from the service. And other branches are expected to do the same thing.
It's just repellent. They served. This is the thing. It's like this goes back It is like the calling card of anybody who is in the GOP right now. It's like Doge. They offered everybody a buyout plan. You leave, you'll get a buyout. Did they get a buyout? No. People who served went to Iraq, went to Afghanistan. People who have put their lives on the line for this country. And now they're like, you can go.
Also, it's like, do you expect the guy who famously doesn't pay people to pay you?
Exactly.
Like,
no, and no retirement, by the way, means no healthcare.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, and also, I thought we needed troops. Like, Pete Hegseth is out here, like, disparaging women in the military.
Right.
He's sort of like, you know, clucking around like a chicken, demanding that, like, women not be in combat, kicking trans people out. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this administration was in favor of, like, reinstating a don't ask, don't tell type situation, mm-hmm. or banning gay people from the military. It's like, what?
Well, according to his pastor, who, like, look, it's like he retweeted the crazy things that pastor said, including that women shouldn't have the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be a woman?
No, listen, we do have the right to vote through our
husbands.
As
right.
a household. But why? Okay, but what?
Going back
okay.
to J.D. Vance's childless women shouldn't have the right to vote because we're not full citizens. The more children you have, you should have their proxy to vote. I mean, like, if you're a woman in the military— like, everything is intentional. Do you know what I mean? Like, he is an asshole, but they're not stupid. Like, mm-hmm. he didn't accidentally retweet that. So if you're a woman and you are, you know, out in theater somewhere, like, what is that? I don't know.
I think that a lot of people are sort of like missing the forest for the trees when it comes to like Trump and all that stuff. Like, he announced, the president announced that on the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, there would be like a UFC cage match at the White House.
Oh my God.
And people are like, oh, it's a distraction. Like, he's doing distraction politics. But I think if you look at all of it holistically, the Trump administration advertised and is selling and is trying to institute a power transfer from people who earned their power in a system designed to take it from them. Women, people of color, LGBTQ people, trans people. Transfer that power back to fucking loser men. It is a power transfer from people who earn their power despite it being against the odds for them to become educated, for them to become high-earning people, for them to have graduate degrees, for them to have professional careers, for them to have their own businesses, for them to be married, for them to have families. Transfer that power back to fucking loser men who the system was designed to help, but the system is now leaving behind. Like, they are so... It is so.
They're not even being left behind.
Well, but it's an obvious celebration of like everything maladaptive and antisocial about men and masculinity. And I mean that like in a stereotypical way, like mm-hmm. being violent, being rigid, being in charge, being territorial, all of that stuff, all of those traits that have been attributed to men are being celebrated and elevated. And what they're trying to do is like convince people that in order for them to access participation in society, they need to do it through men who are violent, and employed by maybe law enforcement, employed by the military. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tear, but I just wish more people were talking about this in terms of like gender. This is all about taking power away from everyone who isn't a cis white man. Everyone who isn't a dumbass cis white man or a cis white billionaire who is like terrified of everything.
Yeah, no, well said. No notes.
All right, thank you. Yeah, but anyway, I think if I, by the way, my husband asks me how we should vote, so I feel like there's a lot of that, I feel like that's maybe, even if they did do that, I feel like there's still a lot of households where like the woman is like the one that keeps track of certain things.
Like,
and also in my house, I'm the one who keeps track of like civic stuff. So that would probably be something that I got to do. So check and mate, dude. all right, Alyssa, speaking of men being afraid, men are afraid. The men are very afraid. And you know what that means? It's everybody's fucking problem now. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on in D.C.?
Oh, Liberation Day, Erin, it's back. On Monday, Trump declared Liberation Day for Washington, declaring a public safety emergency in the city, handing over the Metropolitan Police Department to Pam Bondi and bringing
Girl boss.
Oh my God.
She's the girl boss of the Trump administration. Sorry, Christy Noem. It's Pam Bondi.
It's totally Pam Bondi. She's bringing 800 members of the National Guard. He's calling for a crackdown on crime in the city, likely triggered by the beating of a 19-year-old former Doge staffer during an alleged carjacking attempt last week. I would just like to flag, let us recall when Joe Biden was president and his granddaughter, remember, she was involved in a attempted carjacking. There was a shootout. He never brought the National Guard in to mobilize in the city. Just saying.
And that crime, I'm much more likely to believe, actually definitely happened. I'm just going to say that.
100%. In reality, the police department statistics show a 26% drop in violent crime this year so far compared to the same period last year. And Mayor Muriel Bowser says there is not a crime spike at all. Bowser also suggested the federal government could be far more helpful by filling the 15 vacancies on the D.C. Superior Court or by providing funding for more prosecutors. Bowser did, however, pledge to work alongside the federal officials deployed by Trump. I did see a lot of people online attacking Bowser, saying she needed to stand up to him. Muriel Bowser is doing her level best. This is not your average government. Trump actually does control it, and she is just trying to make sure that the people who are now need the cops the most, who will be the most afraid to call the cops, have some advocate for them still existing. On the first night of Trump's rule in the city, officers arrested 23 people, according to Caroline Levitt from The Podium. Now, Aaron, you may be wondering, can he really do this? Can Trump federalize the Metropolitan Police Department? Yes, technically. Under Section 740 of the 1973 District of Columbia Home Rule Act, but only for 48 hours before approval from Congress is required. Now, there's no specification of what the rules are for when Congress is in recess, which it will be until September 3rd. Even with approval from Congress, he can only federalize the police for 30 days. But Caroline said he may need longer.
Can I just say, during his press conference when he announced that he was federalizing the Metropolitan Police Department and basically, like, invading Washington, D.C., you could tell he was reading, like, what section it was.
Totally.
And what law it was. It's like, who is writing these statements? Like, I don't think that Trump is really driving the bus. I think he's sitting there, like, pretending to turn the wheel.
Well, he has the staff secretary guy who hands him the proclamations, and he usually makes that guy give a primer before he even starts talking, to be like, what is this about?
Yeah.
And he tells him, and I can't imagine.
I'm like, he's really sounding tired. He sounds kind of like a fascist Garrison Keillor at this point. Like, he's giving us, like, the news from, like, Lake Wobegon, but, like, in this really, like, fucked up, militarized hellscape. And also, like, Alyssa, do you think it's a coincidence that L.A. and D.C. are two of the largest American cities with mayors that are Black women?
They are very blue. They have Black women. I'm telling you, this is just one of many. D.C. is not going to be the last city that he sends the National Guard to.
Well, I bet we can predict what the next city will be by taking a look at who, what major cities have Black female mayors.
But also, don't leave New York City out. I bet you New York City is on the list.
Yeah, but I feel like him and Eric Adams have, like, a okay thing going on right
now.
He
and Eric Adams may be okay, but he's obsessed with Zohran Mamdani.
Right.
So I think that that's also, maybe he waits a little bit. Maybe he waits until after the election in November. But he is taking this dictator power out for a spin.
First of all, I think big balls, I think it's really funny if you, like, read into the big balls crime.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever. He doesn't have a name. His name is Big Balls until he dies and his grave becomes a big balls themed toilet. He was allegedly beat up by, like, one male and one female. And I think they were both 15-year-old kids and one of them was a girl. So, like, Trump is literally invading D.C. because some, like, 20-year-old was, like, beat up by a girl. Right?
Right. And he sits there and he says, oh, and, like, DC's a toilet. Everything that he said is just so, it's just so incredibly pathetic and so dangerous. And everyone who's there now says it's actually quite scary. And you go to sleep at night and it's like, you know, mini series that we watched when we were little kids growing up about, like, what would happen if someone invaded America. My friends told me they go to sleep and there are drones and helicopters overhead. And especially like a generation of us that remember 9/11 and lived in DC, like that is, it is just, you can't help. You wake up in the middle of the night and you hear something like that. You're like, oh my God, what's happening? And it's like, oh, the president threw a tantrum. That's what's happening.
The president is like, it's really frustrating to watch the news about this. Like, it reminds me of that scene in the first episode of this season of South Park when it cuts to the 60 Minutes anchors and they're all like, oh geez. Like, they're all scared. I feel like when I'm listening to, like, even NPR, where it's like, you just got federal funding taken away. Just go ham, guys. You don't need to be scared.
There's nothing
anymore.
Left.
Yeah, just fucking tits out. Like, just, who cares? You don't have to suck up to him anymore. But I feel like I'm listening to a lot of news reports and they're like, well, the president says crime is up, but it's not. I don't know. And it's like, why can't people just call it out for what it is? The president is a reality TV show producer, and his reality TV program is The News, which is on 24 hours a day. And so he is like sitting there producing the news. Like, well, here's what I think would be interesting to watch. My people want to watch me invade a city that is majority black. And my people want to watch me, like, get into it with another black female mayor. Like, that's what's happening.
That's what's happening. None of it's collaborative. Mariel Bowser was not at the press conference he held, which is like all you need to know. And like the crazy thing is, it's this narrative they keep trying to spin that the Democrat cities with Democrat mayors are cesspools. And it's like, do you know the day of the shooting at the NFL headquarters in New York City, something that was buried was a press conference that Jessica Tisch, the head of the NYPD, did a couple hours before that, which said that gun crime was at the lowest rate since it was recorded.
Okay.
New York. Like.
But, like, why are we even, like, repeating his pretextual excuses for doing this? Like, in L.A.,
well,
when he was in – when like, they were sending troops to L.A., it's like, oh, there's riots everywhere. And it's like, no, there's fucking not. There is not. There's literally not. Alyssa, what are the odds that this honestly, I feel like this federalizing the D.C. police thing is a photo opportunity like everything the president does.
Right. Or just a distraction, right? Because it's so appalling. Meanwhile, Ghislaine Maxwell, it was just reported, old Jizz was, she's given some sort of work program in prison for potential early release.
She's a sex offender.
Yeah. She's not even supposed to be in, like, you know, minimum security, like club fed. But she is, and now they say she's getting some sort of work release program potentially, which is akin to the one that Epstein had back in Florida back in the day where he only had to go to prison at night.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just saying there are a lot of other things happening, and yes, and correct, and she is convicted of a violent crime.
We still haven't seen that. Whatever's in the files must be bad enough to invade D.C. over. Right?
That's right, and he will keep invading places until he thinks that we have forgotten, but he doesn't understand we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
We can be mad about a sex offender being, like, treated with kid gloves.
And a militarized city.
Like, okay, Elizabeth Holmes, please, this is your opportunity to become America's sweetheart. Beat the shit out of her, Elizabeth.
I gotta tell you, though, they showed pictures of her in the prison yard, too. I don't feel like she's been making the most of her time in prison. She did not look to be especially fit or anything.
That's okay.
So.
That's okay. Girl, high protein diet. Just, like, drink lots of water. Start the morning with, like, a brisk walk. Get the heart rate up. Eat something. Do a, like, weight workout. And then in the evening, do a little bit of cardio. Do this every day. As much protein as you can. You can get there fast. You've got a, like, strong frame. Elizabeth Holmes.
She does.
Please,
she's tall. I mean, taller than me.
Do prison violence, please. I am condoning it. I hereby
condone.
Because
we can't have more. We can't have more cities.
Prison violence.
We can't have more cities invaded.
Yeah. So, like, but what are the odds that this actually can stick? Because what you mentioned, that it can only go for like 48 hours, and then there's 30 days, but the rules are a little murky. So, like, what are the odds that Congress will actually reauthorize a continued military presence in D.C.?
I really don't know. Like, I'd like to think no, you know, that they're going to come back and be like, Jesus Christ. Also, I can't imagine that it's not inconvenient. You know, they've got things blocked off. My one friend told me they're just like dump trucks on her street, like as barricades. She's like, it is so both scary and ridiculous at the same time. But that a lot of the National Guard people, a lot of the National Guardsmen are just like standing on street corners like, sorry.
Oh, yeah. I read a report this week that some of the Marines that were asked
in LA?
To deploy to LA were like, no, fuck no, dude.
Fuck no. Like left were like, I won't do it. They are like pooing places, I read.
Yeah, they pooped in the showers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I guess that's a form of passive resistance.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you can set, like, look, if you are in the Marines and you're being asked, first of all, you don't have to follow unconstitutional orders, technically.
Mm-hmm.
And if
mm-hmm.
a lot of people were like, I'm not following unconstitutional orders, then it would become a problem, right?
Right. Right.
But courage is contagious. We just need somebody to catch it, you know, and pass
yeah.
it around. First of all, like, in terms of Congress, the Republican majority is like razor thin.
Yeah.
And so any reasonable Republican deflections would basically make this impossible, a non-starter.
Right. And who knows? Because I saw that Marge and Laura Loomer were fighting again. So I feel like Marge cannot be counted on for certain things.
Marge. You know what?
They mad at each other. The girls are fighting. The girls, they hate each other.
The girls are fighting. But I'm sure, you know, it makes very entertaining television. Much more entertaining than the sight of, like, National Guard troops in the nation's capital.
In the heat of the summer.
In the heat of the summer.
Protecting people from crimes that are
not happening. Can I just say, though, I bet that one of the reasons mm-hmm. that Congress won't, like, extend this for mm-hmm. past 30 days is because it's going to be a huge pain in the ass for people who work in the district.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're working, like, they're on vacation or they're on, like, recess now getting yelled at by their constituents.
Right, which means that, like, their staff is on vacation. Like D.C. is a ghost town usually in August. I mean, it was, like, the best time to be there because you could get stuff done. I mean, like, in the White House it wasn't, but every place else it was pretty much a ghost town in August.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I think they're going to get back, and I feel like a lot of people in Congress are fucking divas, and they're going to be like, ugh, it took me longer to get to work than it was supposed to, or like,
yeah.
This was annoying to me. I couldn't find parking by my favorite steakhouse, because they all love steakhouses. I feel like eventually someone's going to just, like, whine about it enough, or be mildly inconvenienced enough that they're going to, like, call the whole thing off.
Yeah, they're going to be like, this isn't, enough is enough.
Yeah. In the meantime, you know, I'm very afraid for unhoused people in D.C. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're building all of these concentration camps and we're not really finding that many actual criminals to put into them. And
well, no, it's that their whole theory is that somehow people who are unhoused made a choice, that this is by choice, and that this is just people who are lazy and that they just need to, like, give them the motivation to get up and it's just depressing. And also the people who they're putting on the streets are not the right kinds of people to help people who are addicted or have mental health problems, which is the case with preponderance of people who are living on the street. And it's all the wrong solutions to the wrong problems.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes with what I was saying about, like, ICE and a lot of these mm-hmm. like violent jobs that are now like the jobs.
Also, can I just say something that no one's fucking talking about?
What?
Congress cut DC's budget. They slashed it months ago. Mm-hmm. And if you want to wonder why if there may be some issues with some social services, maybe it's because you just keep deciding what's best for DC for a bunch of people who live there like Airbnbs part-time.
Yeah. You know, that is so true. Like, I was listening to Caroline, KKK Caroline's press conference about, like, what the homeless people, what unhoused people can do. Mm-hmm. If they're like, they can go to a shelter or they can go get treatment. Okay, you're cutting money for the shelters. There
right.
aren't enough beds and you're cutting resources that are going to treatment. So it's like, they're going to simply use the social safety net that we are in the process of actively unraveling.
Right.
Clearly.
They cut infrastructure money. They cut, like, they cut so much money from the DC budget. This is just appalling. And it also goes to show you do have money. This is costing, you know, tens of millions of dollars a day. And they have money to militarize, but not to help people, not to build better schools, not to reinforce highways and repair metro stops. And
I mean, it's very much like there's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza. You know, like every single problem has a solution that they've already, like, sabotaged. You know,
right.
like, oh, well, okay, they can go to a shelter. Oh, no. But they defunded the shelter, dear Henry. Like, it is, I don't know.
Right. You're cutting school lunches and you wonder why people, like, it's just,
Wow, they don't have food. Why are people stealing?
Oh. So cynical, and it's so depraved.
Yeah, like, oh, people are, you know, we're cutting healthcare. Why are people, like, flooding emergency rooms and not able to pay, and then hospitals are collapsing? It's a whole thing. But we're actually going to talk more about that after the break. We have to take a quick one. Stick around. We will be right back.
Hysteria is brought to you by Naked Wines. Erin, ever walk into a store and have no idea what wine to get?
No, but that's why Naked Wines is good. No, because I have like a very specific taste.
Me too. And I never branch out.
I know. And sometimes I need somebody that's like, okay, well, you like this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give this other thing a try?
Exactly.
And that's why I love Naked Wines.
That's why I love Naked Wines. I like when I get a little six pack, and I've said what I like about wines generally, and they've never missed the mark, even for ones that normally I'd be like, I think this is going to give me heartburn. Doesn't give me heartburn.
You know what's funny? I love white wine. It's summer, so I'm like, it's white wine season, right?
Yeah.
I fuck a Chardonnay. Fuck a Chardonnay. I hate Chardonnay.
Oh my God. I thought you were meaning that in a good way.
No.
I haven't had Chardonnay
Absolutely
in years.
Not. Chardonnay.
Keep that buttery, oaky Chard away from
American
me.
American Chardonnay tastes like the piss of a mighty oak to me. And I do not like it. And like when I filled out my Naked Wines questionnaire, I was like, I like whites, but I don't like Chardonnay. And they sent me this like lovely collection of whites that were not Chardonnay.
Do you know what I got that I had never had before? White Cote de Rhone. A white Cote de Rhone. It's a revelation. It's a revelation.
They sent me a Riesling that I didn't find cloying. I like usually like a Riesling. Like I find Rieslings to be like a little
bit
too
sweet.
I mean,
they're very sweet. They tend to be very sweet.
Yeah. This one was like, it like was sweet, but then the sweetness kind of ends really nice. It was like, it's great. And they sent.
It wasn't like sucking a lollipop, which is what some Rieslings are like.
Yeah. Or like drinking a melted popsicle that's like slightly got a minerality to it. No, thank you. Anyway, I like enjoy a Sauvignon Blanc. They sent me three different Sauvignon Blancs from different parts of the world, like New Zealand, South Africa, and I think like a Willamette Valley.
Yeah, and I like it. I'll take a picture because I'm like, oh, I like this one. I'll take a picture so I can go back and like order
it. It's great. It's also, can I also say this? Like it's really annoying when you're like, I am low stock on wine. I have to go to something this weekend. I, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like you, it's always good to have like a few bottles of wine around.
Yeah.
Even if you just have someone pop over and you're like, do you want to have a glass of wine? Whatever. I don't like having to carry like bottles of liquid into the house, you know? So I like, I'm such a lazy, lazy bum that the box being just set on my porch is like, great.
And you know what I do? I unbox it on the porch.
Nice.
I don't even bring the box in the house.
Naked brings you amazing wine straight from the winery up to 60% less than what you'd pay in store. By cutting out extra costs like middlemen markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality. Naked Wines have been around for over 15 years and backs over 90 independent winemakers around the world to make the wine you love to drink. I just used one of my Naked Wines last night, like in cooking.
See? And like Ina says, you should always cook with something you would also drink.
Exactly.
So then you could have it with your dinner.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/hysteria, click enter voucher, and put in our code hysteria for both the code and password for six bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first six bottles at nakedwines.com/hysteria. And use the code and password hysteria for six bottles of wine for $39.99.
Hey, it's Tommy from Pod Save America and Pod Save the World. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics to talk about how to fix this mess. Even President Obama made a surprise appearance. We're doing it all again November 5th to 7th in Washington, D.C., with even more podcasts, panels, and workshops. Plus, there'll be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get tickets at CrookedCon.com. If you're a friend of the pod, you get a discount too. See you there.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people that have to watch the rest of The Hunting Wives for work.
Speed it up.
I'm sorry.
Are behind. I am never the one who is ahead on these things.
I get like 1 hour to myself a day, and it is between 8 and 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's not prime hunting wives watching time.
No, and it's like, that's the time that my husband and I have to hang out because, like, the kids are in bed and it's right before I have to go to bed because the little one wakes up at, like, 5:30. So if I don't go to bed by, like, 9 or if I don't start, like, initiating power down.
The wind sequence, down, your personal wind down.
Yes, exactly. Then I'm going to be hurting the next day. And he doesn't like hunting wives. I was watching it and he was like, what's this about? And I'm like, well.
It's perfect.
It's fucking bonkers. And he was like, this is bad. And I was like, well, I don't need your commentary, sir.
All I can tell you, it's about murder and there's not that much blood. It's my kind of show.
There's a lot of boobies.
There's a lot of boobies, but they're all pretty ladies.
Yeah, I was like, well, because we were, you know, talking about it now and we're going to be talking about it more in the future. I have to finish watching the show. And I was bringing it up to one of my coworkers, like, maybe after I'm done recording, I'm going to watch The Hunting Wives. And they were like, you shouldn't watch that at work.
No. Oh, it's just more enjoyable on your sofa.
I'm going to be
slouched down.
Working remotely from my sofa.
Cuddled up.
Just appreciating the wig work, appreciating the nudity, not being in a professional environment, unlike the next subject of a story that we are going to do a quick update on. Oklahoma Gooner. AKA,
that guy.
AKA Ryan Walters, AKA the Oklahoma State Superintendent of Public Instruction, who was caught allegedly playing pornography on a TV in front of several teachers last month and then accused all of the people who say they saw pornography of conspiring against him with the aid of the governor.
It's always a conspiracy.
Oklahoma, once again, having an extremely normal one. The governor of Oklahoma, also like a far-right Republican. Like,
I know.
Far-right Republican. So an investigation looking into what happened during that meeting has begun. Oklahoma House Speaker Republican Kyle, of course his name is fucking Kyle, Kyle Hilbert has a suggestion. Was this just an oopsie? Like,
oopsie?
He's not. He wasn't at the meeting. This guy was not at the meeting. He is not, like, doing the investigation, as far as I know. He's just, like, a guy, like, posting, like, fan theories. He believes that the pornographic video came from Samsung's free streaming service, which automatically launched. The movie playing at the time of the meeting was the 1985 Jackie Chan film The Protector, and it does have a full frontal nudity scene that matches the description of what was seen in the meeting, according to Hilbert. So this is like a fan theory presented by the Speaker of the Oklahoma House of Representatives. So these findings or this suggestion has not ended the probe. Alyssa, do you buy this excuse that a disinterested third party came up with?
Just telling you, Aaron, I watched all of Hunting Wives, which is full of soft porn, and I weirdly have not gotten any porn ads popping up on my camera, on my phone. I'm just saying.
Have you ever turned on your TV and just had a channel, like, launch?
Never.
Like, that's, like, I don't—
Ever. It doesn't work that way. Not on my regular TV with cable that has Apple TV, not on the Samsung TV that's right over my shoulder. These things have never happened. And let's be clear, I'm not a technological savant, okay?
Yeah.
If it were to happen to someone, it would happen to me. Mm-hmm. And it has never happened.
Well, and like what's also weird is the fact that the story has changed so much. Like Ryan Walters could have been like, oh my God, I don't know why that's on there. I just turned it on. Like, it
right.
must have launched accidentally. I am so sorry. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oops, I clicked something.
Yeah. Like, instead, he denied it. He said nobody saw anything, and he said that there was a conspiracy involving the governor and the state, like, Board of Education. Like, I don't buy it. Like, that's a nice little – that would have been a nice little excuse if it would have been the first excuse and if Ryan Walters had come up with it instead
no.
of some other guy.
They're, like, forum shopping at, like possible scenarios here.
These are
trial balloons being floated.
Why do we live in a time when Republicans keep getting caught doing bad things and, like, they'll offer excuses like, oh, the dog ate my homework. And we're like, but you don't have a dog. And then they get a second chance to offer another excuse.
It's like the streaming service was possessed by the devil. Siri took over because she's a woman. She did this to me
fucking
and I am a crime.
Siri's in on it. Siri's in on it. Governor
Aaron,
Governor
mark
Stitt.
Our words. She's up next. Siri's going to be on the chopping block next. This
you know
is going to be
what?
Siri's fault.
We should start a campaign to get Ryan Walters to throw Siri in prison.
It's Siri's fault.
Lock her up.
She has to do time.
Lock her up.
Lock her up.
I mean, she did this. This is her. Walters Just fun little question before we move on to the next story. Walters wants Bibles in every classroom. There is a lot of nudity in the Bible, so that kind of tracks. You know,
guess
there's like
so.
There's some like dad raping scenes, and there's like gross. Tons of gross. It's true. The Bible's a gross book. But if you could put a book in every classroom, what would you choose?
Nancy Drew, The Clue in the Crumbling Wall.
Woo, that's a deep cut.
Thank you. Because people should be problem solvers, okay? And that's what Nancy Drew was.
That's true. Nancy Drew is a problem solver.
She wasn't an excuse maker.
She wasn't an excuse maker, but she did kind of. I read so much Nancy Drew when I was a kid that I like.
Me
kind
too.
Of, I kind of went Drew-anon. Like, I think everything is a mystery. I desperately wanted to solve conspiracies.
I still have my Nancy Drew books. I love them.
Oh my God.
I read them.
We should start a Nancy Drew book club. Let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
The book I would put in every classroom is Where the Sidewalk Ends by Shel Silverstein.
Oh, great book. I have that one too.
Yes. Also, Shel Silverstein back in the day could get it. Okay. Next story. Let's talk a little bit about school choice, a sanitized way of describing something very bad. Alyssa, do you want to take it away?
Ugh, Erin, Arizona is the center for school choice in America. The state allowed the first charter schools in the country in the early 90s and created some of the earliest voucher programs. These systems privately run schools to use taxpayer money without being held to the same standards as public schools. Last week, the Washington Post published a feature on how these programs are straining the state's budget and failing public schools. So currently in Arizona, tax money for homeschooling and private school vouchers are available to all families regardless of income. So Erin, if you're making $500,000 a year, you can still get these vouchers. Why? Don't know, but nearly 150,000 vouchers across two different programs were granted in 2024, and more than 232,000 students attended charter schools. Public schools are now bearing the consequences. This year, the voucher program is anticipated to top $1 billion in funding, paying families who could afford to send their children to private schools regardless of vouchers and draining money that should be going to private schools. In the Phoenix area alone, at least 20 schools across several districts have shuttered due to enrollment drops. Phoenix continues to be unparalleled as America's foremost drainer of resources.
Yeah, I wrote that joke. City shouldn't exist. I'm saying it.
It shouldn't
be there.
But Erin, here's like what I don't get about Republicans and vouchers, because it makes no sense to me.
Okay.
So these are unregulated. You come up with your own curriculum to choose your own fucking adventure, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these are the people who are obsessed with micromanaging curriculum that are censoring books in schools. So it's like, it just doesn't, the math doesn't math for me. Like, yes, on the one hand, maybe they get some very, very intense religious schools that are benefiting from this. But what's to prevent me from starting my own school, homeschooling, and teaching things like real history?
Alyssa, that gives me an incredible idea. Let's start a school in Arizona. Let's go to Arizona and start a school.
Also, it's like, I know, like, the University of Phoenix, like, it just feels like everything, their whole education system is this weird, like, pay-to-play. And my friend who lives there has four kids that she adopted. She has been through it in the entire school system. It is such a fucking mess.
It's a fucking mess. It's also, like, it's part of the whole right-wing plan to privatize education. Like, anything that they can't privatize and suck the life out of. And then discard it and then move on to the next thing. Like right now, they've done it to healthcare. They're doing it to veterinary care. They're doing it to like
vampires.
Child care, like literal, like early childhood education.
Yeah.
They're trying to suck the life out of public schools, and public schooling existing is a problem for people that want to profiteer off of schools. Right. Mm-hmm. And it also kind of ties into this. Not to, like, beat my feminist drum all the time, but, like, teaching is a profession that is something like 80% female,
mm-hmm.
especially in the early grades. It's even higher, like, percentage of women who are teachers. And I feel like attacks on teachers are attacks on women. And a lot of times women go into teaching because it was a way for them to balance having a family and working mm-hmm. a job. And, like, they were passionate about their children. They're passionate about other people's children. They're able to, like, have a family, have some time to be with their kids when their kids are not in school, and then also when their kids are in school, they're teaching school. Like, I think it also, like, it devalues the work of teaching, too. Like, any dumbass can do. No.
Being like, we can do it.
No. It's like, I'm from a family of teachers. It is fucking hard. Like, it is.
Right. If you're, they're like, we read a book and we're going to teach you about that book today and that's it.
Yeah. Or, like, we're going to show you, like, a Prager University-produced video. Yeah. And, like, I'm going to sit here and, like, click the button on the remote control and hopefully not launch some porn accidentally. You know, it's like, it's a devaluation of, like, feminized labor, which is, like, teaching and raising and fostering children. Mm-hmm. And it is, like, a privatization move aimed at one of the last, like, public institutions that is, like, reliable and good in a lot of parts of the country. Not everywhere, but in a lot of parts of the country. Yeah, it's a fucking disaster. Man, there's a lot that needs to be unfucked in this country. Whew. Oh, boy. Okay.
One more thing.
And another thing. Local governments are already having to make plans for cuts from the big, beautiful bill, a.k.a. Big Beautiful Law, a.k.a. BBL. And healthcare is on the chopping block, for example, here in L.A. The county is projected to lose at least $714 million over 3 years, mostly from Medicaid cuts. I feel like we're going to have to repeal Prop 13 pretty soon. That's a California reference. But Prop 13 can't continue. It just simply cannot. Anyway, LA County CEO Fezia Davenport said the county will likely have to make thousands of layoffs and possibly even close 4 of the public hospitals as a last resort. These consequences will be felt by everyone, not just Medicaid recipients, and it'll also dramatically injure the already delicate healthcare system. According to the Commonwealth Fund, public hospitals could see operating margins reduced by an average of 56% due to the budget bill. This also means more people using, like, the emergency room.
Right.
For basic healthcare. And according, you know, EMTALA is a law that requires if you show up at an ER with an emergency, they have to provide you healthcare. And if you can't pay, mm-hmm. then, you know what? Too bad. They have to.
Did you see the story that The Pitt is actually going to be following? The television show The Pitt will be following the Big Beautiful Bill and will be incorporating the consequences of the Big Beautiful Bill into the new season.
Oh, good. I feel like I feel like The Pitt is a show that a lot of people watch to pretend reality isn't happening all around them. And you know, it's an immersive medical drama that, like, allows you to ignore politics. So I feel like that might be. I think it'll be a welcome wake-up call.
They're taking on the Big Beautiful Bill.
They got to. But this isn't just happening in L.A. It's everywhere, especially in rural areas. A study from the Shep Center for Health Service Research shows that 35 rural hospitals in Kentucky alone are at risk of closing due to Medicaid cuts more than any other state. Well, it's a good thing. Everyone in Kentucky is in great health. So
thank God.
Especially in rural areas. Everybody's doing great. Good physical shape. Eating good foods, access to healthy foods, access to clean air, clean water. It's great. No, it's going to be fine. Also, like, RFK Jr. Maha'd us, right? We've been Maha'd. We're healthy again.
Everything's terrific.
Everything's terrific. How can the GOP justify this, Alyssa? Like, how can the GOP justify this?
Senator Bill Cassidy is a doctor who voted for an anti-vaxxer. Senator Joni Ernst is a veteran and a sexual assault survivor who voted for Pete Hegseth. That is all we need to know. They are just doing what they have to do. There is no rhyme or reason. There is no methodology. There is no logic. There is no thoughtfulness. They are just doing whatever they think Trump wants. And that is passing the Big Beautiful Bill. But
I don't think they think it'll affect them. Answer. I don't think they think it'll affect them. I think that they.
Oh, I think that they know it will.
Really?
I do think that Bill Cassidy. Here's the thing: they may kind of be bad people taking cowardly votes, but they're not actual idiots. Like, I do think they know that the chickens are going to come home to roost, and I think that they can just wait it out long enough, or that maybe the cuts don't come fast enough for those who have upcoming races, and a lot of them who don't have upcoming races, who just aren't scared and think it'll be fixed by the time they do have a race again.
It kind of reminds me of a conversation I had with, like, I want to say it was my mom, but it could have been my dad. It was one of my, like, a parental figure. Mm-hmm. And I was talking about, like, climate change and how, like, you know, catastrophic it was. I was spiraling. And the parent that I was talking to, I'm pretty sure it was my mom, was like, well, I'll be dead by then. And she said it in a kind of, like, throwaway way, because it was like I was talking about, like, 40, 45 years down the road. And I was like,
but
I wonder if
true.
There's a lot of, like, that is – okay, she wasn't being flippant or glib, but I, like, was thinking, like, I wonder if there are a bunch of people in Congress that are like, eh, I'm fucking Chuck Grassley. I'm 1,000 yes. years old. It's a miracle. Every day that I wake up and walk around with of my own volition is a miracle. Whatever. The kids will figure it out.
No, I absolutely think that there are some members for whom that is pretty accurate.
I used to be of the school of thought that found anti-aging research to be ridiculous and selfish and indulgent and initiated and spearheaded by men that are terrified and strange. But now I'm starting to think that I think that we need to do this. We need a cure for aging. We need it to be distributed randomly.
Mm-hmm.
We need, like, not everybody's going to get it, right? But we need there to be a lottery where, like, one out of every 1,000 people gets an injection that causes them to live to be 200 years old. Some of them are going to be members of Congress. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to be fuck, I have to live with the consequences of my actions. There's no peacing out. Okay.
I'm going to be human jerky because of climate change.
Yeah, exactly. I think they all think that they're privileged enough to escape it. And there's just no, I mean— And by it, I mean the consequences of reckless lawmaking, of reckless governing. And it's just, I think we should just randomly distribute the cure for aging to these people. See what happens.
I think that's a great suggestion.
All right. Well, we solved it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have an interview with one of our favorite people. Hysteria is brought to you by Honey Love. Okay, Alyssa, I went to the Magic Castle.
How did it go?
It was magical and in a castle, but beyond that, I think they made us sign an NDA.
Oh,
no, okay. You can't take pictures inside, which made me feel like I was, you know, everybody got dressed up. Like the group that I was with, we all got dressed up. I went there and I was like feeling myself kind of because I never get dressed up, wearing my Honey Love shapewear. And then I was like, oh, pictures aren't allowed inside.
Oh.
So no picture. I felt great though. I was wearing.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, I felt great. I was wearing my Honey Love shapewear. It was like. You know, I was comfortable. I could sit for the magic show, sit for dinner, walk around.
Nothing rolled down.
Nothing rolled down. Everything stayed put. It did what it was supposed to do. It's one of those things that the less you notice it, the better a job it's doing.
And it also doesn't overheat you.
It doesn't overheat.
That's a big thing. You know, I'm very overheatable in this era of my life. And the one thing that I love about Honey Love is that you can be all tucked in and nice and smooth, but I also just don't start sweating all over the place, which I really appreciate. The air circulates.
There's nothing worse. Like, sweating becomes a self-perpetuating situation in the summer.
Yes.
You realize you're sweating, you get nervous, you keep sweating, and it like gets worse and worse and worse.
100%.
Don't have to worry about that with Honey Love. Today's episode is brought to you by Honey Love, the brand redefining modern shapewear with real comfort and serious support. And their newest innovation, Mesh Sculpt, is the ultimate summer shapewear. Usually lightweight shapewear doesn't offer much hold and strong shapewear is very heavy, but Mesh Sculpt changes all that. It's breathable and lightweight without sacrificing its power. It keeps you cool while still delivering the sculpted silhouette you want.
Honey Love's targeted compression smooths and shapes exactly where you want it to and eases up where you don't. It works with your body, not against it. Plus, thanks to flexible boning on the sides, it stays in place. No rolling, no shifting, no awkward adjusting mid-conversation. With lingerie-inspired details, Honey Love pieces are meant to be seen. So whether you're dressing up for a night out or just feeling yourself in your go-to sundress, Honey Love has your back, your curves, and your comfort covered all season long. And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can save 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/hysteria. Support the show and start your year off right by checking them out at honeylove.com/hysteria. Treat yourself to the most comfortable shapewear on earth and save 20% off site-wide at honeylove.com/hysteria. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/hysteria. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in shapewear with Honey Love.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that can't help but wonder.
If you're listening to this episode the day it comes out, tonight is the finale of And Just Like That, a show with a very special place in our Hysteria hearts. To mourn and celebrate with us, we have New York Times bestselling author, comedian, and friend Samantha Irby, who just so happens to be a co-executive producer and writer on the show. Welcome to Hysteria, Sam.
Thank you for having me. I feel hysterical. I'm ready. I'm ready to get into it.
And just a heads up, if you haven't watched the show and you don't want any of the plot for the end of it spoiled, then you might want to pause and fast forward to the end of this interview. If you don't mind, just listen.
Okay, Sam, where should we start? First, this episode drops on Thursday, the final episode of the series, not the season, but the series. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling?
I have two feelings.
Okay.
One, I would love to keep getting paid, right? Like, oh my God, I would really love to keep getting a check. So I miss that. I also, like, I don't know, I had some ideas for next season. I really wanted to see Miranda as a grandma. I really wanted Seema and Adam to, like, just have wild butt naked sex. So I'm sad that that's not happening, but I am, I hope this is not like a bad thing to say, but I'm a little bit relieved, right? Like, I'm a little bit relieved that, I mean, it's going to take a few weeks, but that I can stop avoiding the internet because it's full of landmines about like how stupid the show is and how like we ruined it. I'm ready to be like fully back on Reddit without hesitation. So I'm a little relieved, a little sad. And I mean, I think the biggest thing is that I love everybody I work with. And now we're in that weird place. Well, at least for me, I don't know how they feel, but where I'm like, do I still get to call them? Like, and just like that group chat gonna die? So those are all my
Well,
my
Sam, I'll tell feelings. You something. I left the White House 10 years ago and the group chat's still alive.
Okay. But like you no, were doing important work, not like
girl, so were
making
you.
A fart show. Okay. Okay.
Oh my God. I knew that the fart I was like the fart scene, I was like,
perfect.
That's Sam.
I don't know. So let me tell you, the last time I did a podcast talking about this show, I unknowingly fucked up my NDA and like HBO's lawyer was like, hey, Sam. So whatever, I'm fully expecting that to happen again. But there was going to be an episode in which LTW gets a colonoscopy and like, you know, that like that's so close to my heart and my butt. And it was going to be in my episode, but they swapped it out for the hamster storyline. I think because of time, like, you know, shit happens.
Literally.
Yes. And I think as a concession, they gave me audible farts, which
the colonoscopy would have been incredible. Fan of Hysteria, Katie Couric loves to talk about her colonoscopy when she comes on.
I have had so many.
Me too.
I love them. We don't talk about them enough. I mean, like, no one's talking about poop enough for my taste. But I thought it would be, like, funny but also useful. Like, hey, ladies, get your butt checked.
So LTW, she would have, like, loved it. She would have been, like, nervous and then loved it?
Well, so we sort of sketched out this. Well, did I write it? No, I think I may have written it. She was going to be like living her busy life and trying to do prep. Because in the room,
perfect.
We talked about how the prep is really the worst part.
Hands down.
Yeah. And if you've got shit to do, literally, figuratively, it's impossible to do it while also like running to the bathroom every 5 minutes. So there was going to be a lot of running back and forth, a lot of like hiding her gross poop from her man. And it was based on Julie, one of the writers, had a colonoscopy prep, and she, I mean, had an insane experience. So we were basing it on that. But I'm sad. It'll live on in my memory. You know, I was going to pitch it again for next season. Like, that's my thing, is like any of my little bullshit that I try to sneak in that doesn't get in, like the beginning of the next season, I'm like, so remember that dumb thing I said? We should really, let's circle back to that.
Oh my God, I love that. Is there a character outside of the characters you've already mentioned that you wish you could have seen more of this season?
I love Seema, although I already said Seema, so that's cheating. I think, to me, Anthony is so funny. And, like, the way we get to write Anthony with just, like, zinger after zinger, like, that's my type of shit, you know? Like, if it was up to me, the show would be like Veep, right? Where all the women are just, like, roasting each other constantly, but that's not what this show is. So with Anthony, we get a little fix of like mean and funny, and I love him. I would have more Anthony on my screen always.
Wait, Sam, was there any, so you had Patty LuPone on who played his boyfriend's mother in the midst of the Audra McDonald, was there any intersection, like had that happened when she had already been on the show, like, or had that already been recorded?
That came out, she had already filmed her part when that came out. But listen, you know, Michael Patrick King is a all press is good press kind of guy. So, you know, it was like, oh, she said this insane thing? Well, great, maybe people will tune in to see if she says anything else, which she didn't.
Sam, what did you have the most fun writing this season? What was your favorite storyline?
Oh, probably... Okay, I had two things that were my favorites. One was the Brady Miranda, I got a girl pregnant. Mm-hmm. It was so, like... So the way, like, these things work is, like, Michael already has an idea or, like, a story for everyone, right? From beginning to end, I want her to start here. I want her to end up here. And, like, you idiots, like, figure out how to get us there. And so he'd already had this idea that Brady got someone pregnant but wasn't in a relationship. And when he put it in my episode, I was like, oh, this is amazing. Cynthia will do anything. She's incredible. She'll do anything. I mean, you've seen her do anything, but she will do anything. And we came up with this idea that, like, the the baby mama, like, worked in a salon. And Michael was like, should we waterboard her? And I was like... Yeah, we should. And so writing that and the interactions between them was so fun. And then I'm going to take a little credit for, Lucas won't get mad. In the party episode, I was really, like, Seema's my girl. And I really wanted, because she's so, like, buttoned up and, like, businessy. When Michael told us that she was going to get with this gardener, I was like, oh, man, I want her to really be swept off her feet by, like, the dirtiest, grimiest guy who she would never look at. And the scene in the kitchen when she comes in with her eyelash and he, like, you know, blows, like, takes her eyelash off and, like, blows it and all that. I wrote a lot of that. And their romance, I think, was my most favorite thing of this season. Mm-hmm. We had a big argument in the room, which I have seen the director's cut, so we'll see if it stays like this. But I said, like, the ultimate way to show that Seema is really in love with this dude is to have her wear jeans when they're together. Because Michael's like, oh, this isn't a woman who wears jeans. And I was like, yeah, but if she was in love with a jeans kind of guy, she might wear, like, very fancy jeans. And in the finale, we got her in jeans. So that really made my heart skip a beat.
Oh my gosh. You know what's really funny? In one of the writer's rooms I was in, one of the head writers was like, so if you ever see a wet actress on TV, you know that they're either really mad or they're really cool.
No, that's true.
Like Cynthia,
that's true.
Cynthia must be in the very cool category because, like, yeah, that's, I was like, oh, wet actress. Wet actress.
I mean, they all, like, Kristen goes for it on all the falls and shit, you know, mm-hmm. like when she's like falling over drunk, that's really her. SJ, also like not a diva in that way. I'm going to mess this up. I think it's season two, not season one. When she pukes on the street. Do you remember that?
Yeah, season two date? On her date. Yeah.
That's real puke.
Really?
The puke machine, like, was not working right, and old girl did it for real.
What? Incredible.
I wow. would like, give her an Emmy, an Oscar.
Holy shit.
You know, because these, like, I look at them, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're so beautiful, and they're so tiny and, like, delicate, and, like, you just think, like, they're little precious dolls. Like, to me, like, me standing next to Sarah Jessica Parker is like, you know, come on. It's like, you know, I look like fucking Thanos or something. And so, and you don't expect these, like, the most gorgeous women you've ever seen in your life to really be, like, gung-ho to do the most embarrassing shit. And they really are. Like, that to me was, like, the coolest, like, getting to, because you never know if somebody's, like, being cajoled into humiliating themselves or right. just, like, going for it. And all these girls go for it. Wow. And it's amazing.
That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about Aiden. Yay or nay? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Aiden the character? And second, how did the decision to conclude his storyline the way it was concluded, how did that come about?
Okay. Yay on Aiden in the original series. I loved him. When he first was gone, I was devastated. Then when he came back with the short hair and, like, no turquoise, like, I was so excited. And I'm a big, like, Aiden over Big kind of person. Like, but I think the thing about the two of them and the thing I feel and still feel, Carrie had to work so hard with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want a woman to be working hard for a man ever. So when, like, Michael was the architect of, like, bringing him back and how the story was going to go, most of my input on their storyline came from my experience step-parenting and what it's like when you, as a single person who gets to do whatever you want all the time, has to take a back seat because, of course, like, the kids got to come first. Like, who cares what your problem is? Like, that's a kid. You got to, like, look out for the kid. Once things got complicated, like, there was a part of me that really loved the idea of seeing Carrie's house full of teenage boys, you know, like, if they eventually came to New York. But when Michael was like, we're going to break this up, I was like, well, okay. Like, 5 years and oh my God, like, there's nothing like a badass kid to really, right? Like, release me from this. I don't want to listen to Outward Bound. I don't want to hear about him crashing the car. I just want Carrie to have, like, a fun life. And when it was not fun, it was very easy for me to be like, okay, bye, Aiden. Good luck. See you in 10 years.
Okay, so
but Sam, I do like him. I do, as a character, I do like him.
So at what point, either in writing or filming, did you find out that this was it, that there was going to be no season four?
Well, at the end of... So I don't go to set. Like, they mm-hmm. do not pay me or require me to be on set. So when the room wraps, all the scripts get turned in, we meet again for table reads. I always, like, log in from Michigan. because they are not paying me to go to New York. And so, and you can sort of hear how the jokes sound and all that, you know, and like offer your opinion on how the episode is sounding. So once the table reads are done, my job is over. I did go to set just to like hang out for a week, but like, what am I going to tell people what to do? No, I just like sat there and drank Diet Cokes. So at the end, I kind of get like production updates and we get the dailies and stuff like that, but I'm not really looped in. So when they wrapped, one of my coworkers was like, this is feeling kind of end-ish. And I was like, really? Okay. We left Carrie in a good place to end. I don't know. I can't decide if people are going to be like, that's empowering or, you know, fuck you. They'll probably be like, fuck you, but, you know, whatever. So, like, a year passed between, like, the writer's room and the show airing. And as we were getting closer, I was just like, I don't know, man. We're not hearing anything. But also, we never hear anything until the show airs and we see, like, how the ratings are doing and whatever. So then we get an email from Michael's assistant that was like, everybody jump on Zoom. And I was like, oh, either he's telling us it's done or he's telling us like when we have to report for season 4. And he was like, we logged on and he almost immediately was like, so Carrie's story, I think, is done for now. And I was like, oh, okay. So that was just like a few months ago. But I think they were tired. No, I don't want to say tired of it, but I think like toward the end of shooting, when everything is like really draining and everybody's like standing in high heels at 3 a.m. on a hot set all day, I think this was just a lot of years of that. And I think when Michael, because he like comes up with the story, and I think when he like didn't have anything for Carrie to be and do in a 4th season, he was like, okay, let's wrap this up. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, would you write on a future season? If they did like 10 years from now, would you write on a future season?
You know, Aaron. Okay, yes, if it's all the same people that I worked with before, only because peer pressure would make me feel like I had to.
Gotta go to the reunion.
We miss you. We love you. Come back. You blah, blah, blah. We need your butt jokes. You know, whatever they would say to get me in would probably work. But like, my instinctual reaction is no. This has been I've only worked on, and Aaron, you could tell me how you feel about this too. I've only worked on like niche things before now, like things where the episode comes out, nobody's recapping it. there's no Vulture article about it. Like the fans are happy with it. So coming into this experience was like a real, there are just a lot of eyes on a thing like this. And I don't know. Also, okay, let's be for real. What would people want to see them doing in 10 years? They don't want to see the shit they're doing now, right? Like everything these bitches are doing is shit that like bitches in their 50s and 60s.
Okay, let me pitch you something.
Okay.
Witness protection. We open on each of them in witness protection and we slowly work our way back to the crime that they committed together to get them in witness protection.
Yes.
Okay.
Then I would do it. Because that's like pure camp, right?
Yeah. And oh,
like,
totally. They're witness and they're living like,
understand that it was camp.
Right. One's on a farm. Like they're living in these places that you're like, why is Carrie in Missouri? you know, like, and one of them is like a stage performer and what, like doing, like, I think that it'd be, and work our way backwards to be like, what did they do?
Yes.
Sort of like,
if it was something like that, absolutely. If it was like me trying to come up with like Aqua Zumba storylines or whatever, like, these women are so rich. And they don't have anything to do. It's like, how many brunches can you watch a woman eat, right? So, like, yeah, if it was, like, only murders in the sex and the just like that, then yes.
Oh, my gosh.
But if it's just, like, let's watch them, you know, pick out, you know, I don't know, caskets. What do I mean? If they're in their 70s, like, really, and this is no shade to anyone in her 70s, but I feel like it's a lot of doing things that don't translate well to TV.
Right, right.
So, you know.
Yeah. Well, Sam, what are you working on? Like, I know you probably want to just, like, take a breather, but, like, any more books coming down the pike? Like, what's going on?
Yes, I am. So I'm currently working on a book. It's overdue, like, by a year. And I don't even really work like that. Like, that's, I don't know, something is going on in my brain. But what I am doing, so I had a blog for a long time when everybody had a blog.
I know the blog.
I know you know. So guess what I'm doing? I unpublished it a few years ago. And I'm taking all of my favorite pieces from the blog, putting them in a book, but I can't just, like, make you pay for something I've already given you for free. Like, that is not my, that's not my ministry. So I am going through, because it'll be 20 years in 2008. So I'm going I know we have to die. I'm going through and, like, reacting and updating in footnotes. So it is the cringiest experience. It really is like having surgery while wide awake to read things that my 28-year-old self was writing on the internet. There is an entry in which I listed every single person I'd had sex with up to that point.
Oh, no.
With their names. Like, what the fuck was I doing? But also, the internet was a different place back then. So I'm working on that. And I'm working on a novel, too, but I can't work on it until I finish this book, because I actually have a contract for this. But yeah, and I mean, it's impossible to work in Hollywood right now.
Oh, yeah.
So I am not. I'm just working on my little shit.
Well, we love your little shit, Samantha Irby.
Sam, thank you
so much for joining us. And then when the book comes out, or when you just get bored and want to procrastinate more, please come back. We always love talking to you.
Anytime. I'm sure you want to hear my opinions on geopolitics.
Absolutely.
You know, I have lots of opinions on the economy, so you just let me know when you want a real expert.
Oh my God. Thank you so much I'm going to take you up on it. I'm going to have you blind react to the news, and I think it'll be really, really fun.
Oh, great.
Thanks for joining us, Samantha Irby. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sani Petty. Hysteria is brought to you by Ritual. When have you felt guilty for not filling your plate with veggies? Like, have you ever had just, like, a bad week and you're like, all I want is this thing?
Yeah. Last night I had a pizza for dinner.
Well, pizza's got a vegetable on it, the tomato.
It's got a tomato. It does have a tomato. But in general, once I've had pizza, let's put it to you this way. There are days you wake up and you're like, you know what? I am just gonna have pizza for dinner tonight. It's the thing that'll get you through. And that was yesterday for me. Mm-hmm. I woke up and I was like, it's okay, Alyssa, you can just have pizza tonight.
It's fine. You gotta forgive yourself. But I feel like if you're like searching your mind for a way in which you had vegetables over the last several days, then you might not be getting all, all of the vitamins and minerals that you need from your diet. That is why having a multivitamin that you can trust, that you rely on, that you take every day is really important. And for me, that is Rituals Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin. It's not exactly a salad in a pill, but it's formulated to help you fill key nutrient gaps that you might not be getting enough of from your diet of pizza, Alyssa.
Yeah. Well, that's why, Erin, I take my Ritual 18 and over every morning when I have my coffee, because unlike other vitamins that would give me stomach aches, Ritual digests real easy for me, so I can just like have it with my salad. I don't have to eat it with a meal like I used to back in the day, because I would just be like burping vitamin all day if I didn't. And so now it's just, you take it, it's got a nice fresh minty taste, you're one and done in the morning, and if you're having pizza for dinner, you're covered.
Mm-hmm. I like that you can trust the ingredients in Ritual. It conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy, and the results were that it increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks.
Which is great.
Yeah, it contains 9 key nutrients and 2 delayed-released capsules designed for optimal absorption per day. It's also third-party tested for heavy metals and Clean Label Project certified, and it is HSA, FSA eligible with a seamless checkout experience. We are getting toward, like, the back half of the year. If you got FSA, got HSA,
take it out.
Use it or lose it.
Use it.
Use it and buy some, like, nice multivitamins that will help you not feel as bad for eating pizza for dinner. Right?
Yeah.
Instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health. Get 25% off your first month only at ritual.com/hysteria. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/hysteria for 25% off.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who have a nemesis. Alyssa?
Yeah.
A recent YouGov poll shows that 6% of Britons say they have a nemesis. Are you
that
among?
Tracks.
I mean, you're not British, but like, are you? Do you have a nemesis?
Yep. Sure do.
Can you tell me who it is off?
Nope.
Off the mic?
Off camera, I will.
Off camera,
sure.
Off mic. Can
off mic, of
send
course
it to
I will.
Me in a voice memo.
Yeah.
We will discuss who your nemesis
it
is.
It will not shock you.
Oh, good. I can't wait. I love
learning
about nemesis.
But you know, it like hurts me to have a nemesis. Like, it hurts my soul to have a nemesis, but this person's earned it.
Does she know that she's your nemesis?
Never.
That is so good. I love
Never.
That. That's like the one thing that feels like you're getting, like if you have a true nemesis who doesn't know that they're your nemesis, like
yeah.
I like, it feels like you're getting one up on them. Even when they don't know, you're like, I'm just so mad at you. You know, look at this fucking idiot. You know, every time they say anything or do anything. But
yeah.
Yeah. It's really not. It really,
you have a nemesis.
I've got nemeses.
I figured.
Plural. I've got a primary nemesis. It's like my all-time nemesis. And then I think every single day on my drive to work, I choose a nemesis.
Oh, that's.
Like a driving nemesis. I'm like,
yeah, I get that.
A bad driver. That person wasn't looking.
Put your blinker on.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of animal doesn't use their blinker.
Nemesis animal.
Nemesis.
All right, before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. The Crooked Store's big summer sale is here.
Woo!
And everything is on sale, from new arrivals to bestsellers. The whole site is 20% off, and sale items have even deeper discounts. So it's the best time to grab that tee or hat you've added to the cart and then taken out again 5 times. I don't take things out of my cart.
Nope, I keep so many carts alive.
Oh, same. And then when I go, if I go back to the site and the cart is empty, I'm like, what the fuck?
You're a bad website.
Leave my cart alone. I abandoned it in an aisle for 3 weeks.
Now I don't remember what I wanted.
Now I don't remember the thing I almost bought. Exactly. Shop before the sale ends and everything returns to full price. Head to crooked.com/store. Now let's get to Sani Petty. Alyssa, finally, a podcast. There's a new podcast. We've been wanting a new podcast. We've been saying more people should have podcasts. We've been saying more conservatives should have podcasts.
Definitely.
More conservative women who are annoying should have more podcasts. And we're saying those podcasts should feature that annoying conservative woman with no chemistry with any of her guests. And the guests should all be people that I would not sit next to on a flight willingly.
Make it top 10.
Okay. But guess what? It's here. Katie Miller.
I know. We saw it at the same time.
Katie Miller.
Wow.
Stephen Miller's lady. Elon Musk's former employee, I guess. Finally a podcast.
Woo!
Finally someone gave this bitch a podcast. Finally. Let's listen to the preview because it's amazing.
Hi, I'm Katie Miller. Welcome to my podcast and welcome to my living room. You may be wondering what I'm doing here hosting a podcast. It seems these days just about everyone has a podcast. For years, I've watched from the sidelines as people I know, people I respect, have hosted TV shows, radio shows, podcasts, you name it. And I thought, hey, I could do that too. And why? Because for years, I've seen that there isn't a place for conservative women to gather online. There isn't a place for a mom like me, mom of three young kids, 4, 3, and almost 2, and a wife, and trying to do a career, eat healthy, work out. There isn't a place for a mom like me. And so I wanted to create that space where we have real, honest conversations with people across the political spectrum and across the world to get lifestyle information, news, laugh with our friends, gossip about what's going on in the world from our perspective, from that of a mom with 3 kids who's trying to make every day be the best it can, from bedtime to bath time to breakfast in the morning to getting out the door for work and everything in between. A little bit about me. I've been a communications director to senators, to a vice president. I worked in high levels of the U.S. government. And most recently, I'm concluding my time working full-time for Elon Musk. And so please join me for my podcast. We're going to do this once a week on Mondays to talk about lifestyle, what's going on, real honest conversations, none of the bullshit, with people from across the spectrum, whether that be politicians, business leaders, celebrities, musicians, artists, scientists, you name it, we're going to have it because this is life about women, for women, with men too, talking about what matters to women. And that isn't just what everyone considers a woman's issue, because what's a woman's issue? I have yet to find out. So join me every Monday for the Katie Miller podcast. Welcome.
Oh, my God.
Welcome.
Alyssa, welcome. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of, you know, that actress, I'm forgetting her name right now, who did that viral TikTok of, like, the girl who bullied you in high school giving a speech at a wedding, where she's like, "Dear Jeff, we've been through so much together.
But if you're lifestyle information.
Lifestyle information. Hi, I'm a mom. And for the first time, they're letting a mom talk on camera. In this podcast, I will be presenting lifestyle information, science, help, and other things.
Gossip.
With men.
Gossip.
Also. And
because of people
for mostly
too.
Lifestyle, I've got 3 kids. And 3 kids, I'm in my living room. You might
and
be wondering.
Crisscross applesauce.
You might be wondering, why am I here? I'm here to give you lifestyle information.
Because everyone I've worked with has a podcast, and I figured I can too.
My cadence is as natural as Christy Noem's face. I'm very normal on camera. My gesticulations are ways that – it reminds me a little bit of something like not necessarily same vibes, but like Megan Stalter.
Yeah, like a parody.
Like when
Megan Stalter doing it.
No, she's like legitimately a gifted comedian, like hilarious. But when she does videos, it's like, it's me. I've got a podcast. I'm the most beautiful woman in America. I'm so pretty. Like it just.
Katie Miller in her living room.
Katie Miller.
Her in her own living room, Erin.
Oh, Katie Miller in her own living room.
But the best is, I'm a mom, health style information for moms like me. And I think
I'm
the first 3 guests she has are like Mike Tyson.
You know
I can't get enough. You know what? Do you know who loves to gossip about moms like me?
Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, do you have any lifestyle information to convey.
He does. She's when you bit someone's ear off, what did you use? What maha?
Oh, what hold fashion?
On. There's more. There's more.
Okay.
She's not in her living room anymore.
What's your situation? Are you no shoes
we're
inside?
We're no shoes inside, but Stephen wears shoes up and down the stairs. Everywhere the kids like eat off the floor is like his shoes. And it drives me like insane. Yeah.
This is like a Tim and Eric sketch. Like
it drives me insane.
It drives me. She hates him. She hates him just like we hate him. But yeah, I mean, I can't. I wish I it couldn't happen to a better person. Love this for her. Love that she's got a gross husband who wears
his shoes. I love this for us.
I love this for us. I just personally, I can't wait to get more lifestyle information from female mom lifestyle. Icon, mom con.
Lifestyle.
I just think it's funny that she thinks her podcast is going to be a place where conservative women can gather online. Can you gather online at a podcast?
I think even the girls over at Evie had to be laughing about this one.
I mean, Evie at least has some sort of a mechanized machine where it's like, this reads like a robot crapped out a women's lifestyle article. This one just sounds like a person was handed like a, like was given like 15 takes and they're really bad at extemp
and
speaking.
Still couldn't read off the prompter.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. That we enjoyed that mightily this week.
Every Monday, we will be tuning in for you know, gossip. The latest gossip with Mike Tyson and, like, you know, girls like J.D. Vance and Elon Musk.
They're just dads, Erin.
American
just
women
dads.
Have been clamoring.
For a place to gather.
Clamoring for a place to gather and listen to men talk. Mm-hmm. Please. Our offices are not enough. Our houses are not enough. It's not enough. To watch TV, are men talking 100% of the time? No. I want them to be talking more. So, yes, let's gather together at Katie Miller's podcast. That's my sanity corner this week. I'm being a real cunt about it.
I'm not subscribing, but I am going to listen.
I'm going to be watching shared clips making fun of it. Right?
There we go.
She's got great guests. Anyway, I think that kind of... That wraps Ooh, it up. That wraps
man,
it up.
What a week. What a week.
What a week. There's too many things happening, and they're not good, except for the fact that we get to laugh at Katie Miller's stilted podcast delivery. Whoever told her or convinced
Lifestyle.
Her to do this, I just need to know what you said to her, because, like, this is really, it's bad. All right. That's all the time we have for this hater-heavy episode of Hysteria. We want to thank Samantha Irby, who we love, have love forever.
Joy.
Amazing. Cannot wait for her next book. If you haven't bought her books that she's already written, please do. It'll like...
Incredible.
Just completely...
Such good essays.
It feels like just laughing in a way... her writing like makes me laugh in a way that most people's writing does not make me laugh. I think she's legitimately one of the funniest women in America. Mm-hmm. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die mm-hmm. this week and every week. And listeners... Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com is our shared email address. Please reach out for tips, information, comments, critique. Be nice. We're nice to you. You be nice to us. Katie yes. Miller, we don't need to hear from you. We'll be tuning into your podcast for your opinions. And listeners, there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.